May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Councilmember Deedy is excused.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Yes, I would like to read an email that David Lenihan sent to us this afternoon at 12:55. City Council and Mayor Benson, I am curious whether Attorney Glenn has considered the likelihood that new Council Rule 2.2 creates practically inevitable a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. To explain, new Council Rule 2.2, adopted in February of 2017, provides the agenda shall not be noticed until approved by the mayor pro tempore and council president. By its plain meaning, Rule 2.2 effectively delegates the council's authority over the approval of the agenda to just two council members, in this case, council members Morgan and Pepper. These two council members thus constitute a committee of the governing body within the meaning of the OPMA, RCW 42.30.020(2). Governing body means the multi-member board, commission, committee, council, or other policy or rulemaking body of a public agency, or any committee thereof, when the committee acts on behalf of the governing body, conducts hearings, or takes testimony or public comment. Under Rule 2.2, council members Pepper and Morgan constitute a committee that acts on behalf of the full council when they decide to approve the council agenda for posting and public notice. They are effectively deciding for the whole council what agenda is approved. Wouldn't this action by council members Morgan and Pepper need to be done in an open public meeting, not in a private email, phone call, or in-person discussion? As I have stated on many prior occasions, the council controls its agenda, and the accepted mechanism for controlling its agenda is by voting during its public meetings to add or remove items from the agenda. The potential for OPMA violations during the agenda preparation process is one reason why many cities rely on the mayor and clerk to prepare and post the initial agenda based on items that have been provided in advance by individual council members and department heads. The entire council may then amend the initial agenda by the majority vote during its council meeting. This is the usual process and one that I have encouraged the council to follow. Thank you.
I would also like to make an announcement. We have Commander Cola Giovanni with us tonight. He's taking over for Chief Kiblinger, and so I'd like you to welcome him. And Sergeant Mike Jurius. He's not new.
Well, sort of.
So the next item on the agenda is
Madam Mayor,
public comments.
Madam Chair?
Councilmember Pepper?
Yes, I would like to make changes and approval of the agenda as per Council Rule 3.4. I move to adopt the council-approved agenda per Council Rules of Procedure. Do I have a second?
I'll second you, Pat.
Thank you. Copies of this agenda are available on the table. The changes from the posted agenda are to add an item of unfinished business, 2017-2022 Capital Improvement Plan, an item of unfinished business, a contract for the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. According to state law, RCW 35A11020 and 35A12120, the City Council determines what will be on the preliminary agenda and what agenda must be posted to the city website. RCW 35A12120 states, the Council shall determine its own rules and order of business and may establish rules for the conduct of the council meeting. Because the mayor refuses to follow RCW 35A12120, the public is not getting information about its own city and its own city council meetings. So I am in favor of adopting the approved agenda with the changes listed.
Is there any further discussion?
Did you even listen to what I just read? Did you read the email from David Lenihan?
Oh, I have. Attorney Glenn, could you take the podium and address
no,
that? Oh, yes.
No, that is not.
Oh, yes. I have the floor, and Attorney Glenn may come to the podium and address that.
The council does not have contracting authority.
The council has
you
contracting authority.
You can't just make up rules that say a council president and a council mayor pro tem can sign a contract. That is not correct, and I will not be paying your bill, and you will not be getting up now. It's time for public comment.
I have asked Attorney Glenn to take the podium, and I have the floor. Point of order.
We have a motion on the floor and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Excuse me. I'm challenging the decision of the chair.
Is there any further discussion?
We have a motion and a second. I'm challenging the decision of the chair.
There is a motion and a second on the floor.
If you agree that Attorney Glenn is not to be speaking now.
There's a motion on the floor, for God's sakes. You're supposed to vote.
Courtesy.
I can't hear over Ronald Taylor. That wasn't me.
There is a motion and a second to approve the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. All right, there is a...
So the next item of business is
public
comments.
Excuse me, something else on the floor from Councilmember Morgan, who has appealed the decision of the chair.
The next item on the agenda
is
appeal
the decision
comment.
Of the chair. All those...
We adopted your agenda. The
yes,
next
but
item
no,
on the
reason that we are
public.
Appealing the decision of the chair is because we want the attorney, Glenn, to speak now
comments.
About the public comment situation and also about the Linehan memo.
He can speak during public comments.
Of the chair. If you agree that it's okay for the mayor to decide that he cannot come to the podium, then please say yes. I'd like to have a roll call vote.
It is now time for public comments.
No, it isn't. I appeal the decision of the chair.
Those wishing to
speak to counsel. I appeal the decision of the chair. All those who think that it's okay for the mayor to deny Attorney Glenn
Leslie.
At the podium... Please say yes.
We are having public comments.
Madam Chair.
Leslie Cooley Black Diamond. And I thought you just approved your amended agenda, which said the next item of business was public comments. If you wanted to have your agenda to have a comment from Attorney Glenn, then you may have added that to your agenda, which you just approved. So at this point, according to your agenda, which should have been posted and distributed 9 days prior, which, as I understand, was not, it's time for me to talk. And I wanted to emphasize that I now see there's an item that's on the 2017-2022 capital improvement plan, and I was actually hoping that you would be starting on the 2018-2023 capital improvement plan to bring us into compliance and to get it ahead of the 2019 or 2018 budget process so that we aren't having the same kind of a challenge we had this past year with the budget cycle. We did adopt last month the budget calendar, so I hope that council is starting to think about what needs to happen in order to improve the budget process. I did want to remind the citizens and the public of the Black Diamond Elementary School dedication, which is on August 7th at 6:30 p.m. There will be tours of the building afterwards. And also Labor Day starts out on September 2nd through the 4th. Not too late to get parade entries. I'm looking for some more bands, some drill teams. Come on down and volunteer. It's a great way to get that community, small town feeling. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I would like to know when this amended agenda was submitted to the city. Pat Pepper, when was this amended agenda submitted to the city?
You know what? This is not a judge and jury. I do not have to answer your questions. You are to address the whole council as a whole.
All right.
It was submitted on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Okay. All right. So that means then that it would have not been given to the public until Wednesday, probably, sent out a notice on Wednesday, which would have been yesterday, which in my mind is maybe you are within the limits of the law, but you certainly aren't following the process that the city needs in order to get the items ready to be put out here for the citizens to look at or to even post online that they can read and find out if they want to comment or not. This memorandum here from Dan Glenn, attorney, in the first paragraph it says this document is prepared by the city attorney. It was my understanding, and Jane Kohler stressed this over and over and over on that horrendous night when she was introduced as a failed attorney to this
Excuse me. Please be courteous. You do not get to attack people.
I can say what I want.
She's not even here.
It doesn't matter. I have a First Amendment right, and you cannot suppress it. She had a failed introduction here that night, and she said over and over and over that they were not applying to be the city attorney. They wanted to supply legal services to the city, along with David Linehan, the city attorney. Now we're getting memorandum from the city attorney, Dan Glenn, and I can only assume that that is the city attorney, Jane Kohler, as well. Everything that begins with you people evolves into something completely other than what you portrayed it to be in the beginning, and that includes your council work. Your work is nothing but a sham because your work is researched and handed to you by none other than people from Bellevue, and we all know who it is. And that's all I got to say, but it's pretty disgusting, and I will not be shut up by you, Pat Pepper. I have a First Amendment right, and I will speak.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Mr. Glenn?
First of all, going to the comment of the lady, that was my error. As you notice, I took it out, but my council, normal council. I have prepared council reports for the last 40-plus years for other cities, and that's just the standard, and I messed up. Now, I want to say that I actually make mistakes, and I admit them. Unfortunately, that is too seldom present. So that's point one. So that was an exception, and if you would take a look at another one that I prepared, the city attorney aspect is taken out. Secondly, I would ask the mayor to be very cautious in terms of the public comment. As you pointed out, you know, or as was pointed out, they should be addressed to the council as a whole. The last session, and you have received my opinion that actions were taken or allowed by you as the chair, and you have authority, obviously, that could potentially cause problems. As the lady points out, she has First Amendment rights, but this is not your classic public forum. You're using public equipment and other things. So all I'd ask is that the city of Black Diamond, the management, be very cautious and encourage public comment generally, but not directed towards particular individuals and not in terms of general campaign matters. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Bob?
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. Notice I raised my hand to be recognized before I walked up here, which is the proper thing to do. It's
Please
getting awful
quiet.
Noisy in here. Since I need to address the whole council, I'd like to hear from Pat Pepper why she believes she has the authority, the ability, what gives her the right to take the floor and then turn it over to someone else. If every council member had that authority, this would be more of a zoo than it is already. I could ask my wife to, after she raises her hand, has the floor, to invite me to the podium to make statements. She isn't about to do that, well, for a number of reasons. But she is not going to do that because the rules don't allow it. It's not in the council rules. It's not in the code. It's not in Robert's Rules of Order. And it's not in the mind of any sane person. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Judy? Judy Carrier?
Judith Carrier, Green Valley Road, Auburn. Right. Mayor and council members. At the last council meeting, a council member asked co-council attorney, Glenn, whatever you got going, don't care about that, for some legal information. He was asked for legal information. I wanted to hear from him, as others here did, but he was denied the right to speak by you, Mayor Benson. The council had the need and the legal authority and then voted to hire these attorneys. It has not approved, as you know, but is the council's legal right for hiring attorneys, legal right, confused here, sorry. Anyway, the council has not approved your hiring of attorneys from Kenyon Dyson. It isn't new for you to hear from me and others that your main duty here as mayor is to preside. You can avoid adding length to this council meeting on this especially warm evening by respectfully recognizing Attorney Glenn if he is called upon to contribute. Council members, I and others would like to hear the counsel of Mr. Glenn if any council member asks for his input at any time during this meeting, and for Ms. Kohler's if ever she should come to attend and offer the same. As you know, you are the legislative branch, and this is your council meeting, not the mayor's. She deserves your respectful recognition as the head of the executive branch, but is not the lead here. If the mayor denies any one of the five of you information that you need from Attorney Glenn to make tonight's business decisions, I encourage you to exercise your authority, reminding Mayor Benson she's out of order. Please follow through with council rules and/or Robert's Rules of Order as necessary to bring Mr. Glenn to the floor and maintain the smooth, efficient flow of business. Thank you. And nobody wrote this. Nobody helped me write this. This is me. I do read because I no longer have the ability to keep my mind on track.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
My name is Kristen Bryant, and I grew up in Black Diamond. I'm not from Redmond or Kirkland or Seattle or Chicago, but lobbyists and investors for developer Oak Point are, and they have given a lot of input to this city as well. So I hope that respectfully you will listen to my input. As a former Black Diamond citizen,
please be quiet.
I'm from Bellevue, not far from the Master Builders Association headquarters, in fact, who also have a great interest in Black Diamond. I wanted to comment that Attorney Glenn, who is here, and I was here when his contract was voted and approved by this council, as well as the attorney Kohler from Land Use and Property Law. They have a lot of combined experience. Attorney Glenn has 42 years of municipal law experience in a number of cities, and it's clearly concerning why it would not be something to where the mayor and council would want to hear from him with his that kind of experience. It's also disturbing that if a council is wanting legal advice and there is an attorney that they accept as their attorney here to give it, that they would not get it. That seems like it could really cause problems for the city as well. As to Attorney Kohler, who's not here, I followed with great interest the land development issue that recently was brought to arbitration improperly by the city and Oak Point, and which Attorney Kohler wrote briefs for the city, and which the retired judge did agree that Attorney Kohler made some points that the council's contract authority couldn't simply be changed in the way that was being argued by the developer. And I think that that was a very good service that was provided to the city from these attorneys that the council has voted for. And I just think that we should be looking at why some people don't want to hear from them. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session.
The next item on the agenda is an amended resolution adopting the 2017-22 Capital Improvement Plan. This item is under review by the Growth Management Committee, so there's nobody's name attached to it, so I have no idea who's speaking to this. Councilmember Pepper.
This is AB17-034A, amended resolution adopting the 2017-2022 Capital Improvement Plan. I move that the council adopt the amended resolution adopting the 2017-2022 CIP with the changes as recommended in the document passed out April 20th and labeled Exhibit A today. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
To speak to this motion, the 2017 CIP was under discussion, and I was proposing amendments on April 20th when the mayor improperly called for a vote, ignoring points of order that I had the floor. The city is required to have a CIP, and waiting for a new version for 2018 is not necessary. We should put this one in place. We still have a lot of 2017 left, and it can be used to guide city work for the remainder of the year on the 2018 CIP. Could Attorney Glenn please address the validity of adopting a 2017 CIP, given that the city is operating under the CIP from 2015?
I do not think it's necessary for him to speak except during public comments. He has not been hired by me. I have not signed the contract. Two council members do not have authority to sign a contract, and you will not be paid. Do you understand that? You will not be paid.
Councilmember Edelman?
First of all, this is a total waste of time. The city's getting ready to start working on the 2018 to 2023 CIP. This has no bearing on what's going on right now. So you guys, you can do your thing, and you're going to pass it tonight like you always do because you are the majority, but it has no effect whatsoever. Why don't you guys take the effort that you put into this kind of stuff that's baloney and put it into doing the real work that the city needs for the city council to do? I do not support this at all.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Weber?
I think I'd have to disagree on that point, because we haven't began as a council working the 2018-2020.
But staff has. Staff has begun working on it. They've been working on it for months.
Okay. And this is also stuff that was brought up months ago.
And this is the first time you brought it back from April, for heaven's sakes. From April. Well, it's been out there in La La Land since April.
I still think it's valid, so I support it.
Mayor, just a couple of questions. What exactly has changed between this and the previous version that I think there was a public hearing on last fall, about a year ago? Because in order to have, this needs a proper public hearing. It also needs to be an ordinance form. This is basically amending your comp plan, and a resolution can't amend the comp plan.
So is there any further discussion?
Well, yeah.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, well, point well taken. You cannot change an ordinance with a resolution. I think that the majority council members need to pull back their motion, and if you indeed want to pass this, it needs to be in a correct form that's legal.
Well, and
otherwise, it's going to be denied because it's not a legal document.
And I believe that there is a project on there that doesn't even belong to the city. I think that was discussed last time you presented it, that it wasn't even a city project. It's not our property. You can't put something on the capital improvement plan that's not ours, that we aren't responsible for fixing or repairing or restoring or whatever. I think we've had this discussion before a couple times. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So the next item on the agenda is an update on the transportation consultant contract for the comprehensive plan. This item is under review by the Growth Management Committee. Councilmember Pepper.
Yes, this is an update on the transportation consultant contract for the comprehensive plan. There are amendments. They are listed as Exhibit A. I move that the proposed contract for a traffic consultant to work on the comprehensive plan be directly with the city and not through any subcontractor, and be amended to include the items in Exhibit A to my motion, which I have copies of, and such an amended contract proposal be sent as soon as possible by the city to DKS, asking them to respond to the city with an estimate of time and cost to do the work. Do I have a second?
I'll second you, Pat.
To speak to this, the intent is that this would be a contract with DKS. I would like to summarize the changes proposed in Exhibit A. They are as follows. Land use and property law attorney Kohler proposed an amendment to the DKS contract to ensure that the draft transportation element of the comprehensive plan that DKS is doing is completely compliant with the Growth Management Act, and that it addresses all of the mandatory elements specified by the Growth Management Act at RCW 3670A040. Attorney Kohler and the council have asked that DKS report on their progress on a monthly basis to the council standing Growth Management Committee. This is an appropriate amendment. It is crucial that the Growth Management Committee be kept current about this project. I have attached a copy of the memo, which was previously emailed to all on July 26th.
Yeah. Mayor?
Councilmember Edelman?
At the very top of this memo, it says attorney-client privilege communication. So you're breaking the privilege? I guess.
If I could have the floor?
Well, just answer my question, yes or no? You broke the privilege.
This was sent to us and is given only to us at this time. And I believe if we wish to remove the attorney-client privilege, we can vote to do that. But at this...
You already broke it by discussing it. It's your right to do that. It's just...
So is there any further discussion?
Well, I would like to update the council on this these amendments, and I would like that this update be used to develop a contract with DKS for the next meeting so that we could look at it and look to moving it forward.
I have already talked to DKS, and they are working up a contract to present. I'm not sure that it will be ready by the next meeting, but their guidelines will be their guidelines. They won't be your guidelines. They will work on a contract that they are willing to work on, and they said that they will work up a new contract, but I'm sure it's going to be a lot more money than it was the last time that they presented it to us. Councilmember Morgan.
I'd like to introduce a friendly amendment to Pat's motion to remove the attorney-client privilege so that this scope of work can be sent to DKS and to the public at large.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So now we're on the consent agenda, so we have...
Excuse me?
Council member?
Don't we need...
Oh, yeah, we,
don't
need,
we
to,
need to...
I'm sorry.
The main
There's
motion?
Another motion second on the floor, sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. So the next item is we have claim checks and minutes for a council meeting. So are we going to just approve the consent agenda, or are you going to separate them out?
Let's separate them out because I have some vouchers I would like to pull. I need to pull.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to pull voucher number 45137, a BHC voucher for $2,660. I want to pull voucher 45166, a parametrics voucher for $21,773.57. And I want to pull 45174, an RH2 voucher for $15,141.38. And I move to hold these vouchers until they have undergone review by legal counsel, and it's because they're complex vouchers for the most part, where I myself haven't been able to figure out a clear path from the resolutions authorizing the use of this money, these uses of this money from the council.
So this came in at, you sent an email today at 2:41, you came in yesterday and met with us on the vouchers, and one of the vouchers, the RH2 one, you didn't even discuss. But this came in at 2:41, and so May has done some research on these, and I believe all of them have contracts. So you're denying paying people that have contracts with the city, and some of them are contracts that were approved 2 years ago that still have money left on them. But, May, did you want to go ahead and address those? Thank you, Ms. Miller. Whoa. Maybe somebody could move that over somewhere.
That's right. Thank you, Mayor and Council. The first contract that was pulled is the BHC contract that was passed by resolution 16-1102, after the community development director left. It was to provide all the planning services that had been done, because it recognized that we wouldn't be able to issue permits or take in plans or do anything without a contract in place. Council authorized this contract. It was for the building, the planning, the code, and the permitting. The contract clearly explains that. It has an attachment. It even lists all the people. This invoice paid for a code. It listed in the attachment that was attached and is posted online under that contract that specifically lists the person that can do that, will do that. It's the attachment. It's all the exact items. The other one is a SEPA, which is part of a plan review. Those are clearly listed in this resolution that was passed by this council. The second one is parametrics. That does have several pieces to it. There are two pieces that were passed by council resolution. The first one is the Covington Creek traffic engineering. That was passed by 16-1101. It was for traffic analysis on that project, and it was for $108,874.50. This invoice right here for $3,192.50 is the final invoice on that work and at least $15.12 in the budget. That was also clearly passed by council. The other one is Roberts Drive Rehab Project. That was also passed by Council Resolution 15-1022. This is the long-debated project that we're not going to delay, we're going to change, whatever. This is the final engineering bill that is before you to pay that of $10,682.32. That was passed by resolution clearly. The other two on there are a pass-through reimbursement for planning, and we have an on-call two-year resolution, 15-1048, that was passed in November 2015. It's a two-year resolution. It does not expire until November 6, 2017, clearly covered in this amount. The last one is RH2 that was not pulled or questioned when we met with Councilman Morgan. The first one, first expenditure on that is for the Springs project. That is a separate agreement with the developer where they prepaid $151,000 to do work on the Springs to provide water and chlorination for all of our citizens, and they're paying for it. They deposited that money in our account. This is already prepaid, and this is just some engineering work done under that agreement. The second one is the water comp plan. I've heard tonight talking about the city comp plan and how it's being delayed. It certainly is. This is another one that's being delayed. I guess I have a hard time understanding how we can deny payment for people that are trying to work on these agreements so we can get them done. This was covered by Resolution 15-1011. It was for $70,000. We have $25,830 left after this payment of this voucher. And I don't know, is this a message that we should tell staff to stop work on this project also?
Say that number again.
We have $25,830 left after out of the $70,000 okay. after this invoice. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
So would you like to maybe withdraw your motion on any of those checks?
From what she said, no, we still need to see this. No, there's still problems.
Wow. So did we get a second on that?
I'll second then.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So you pulled those. Did you want to make a motion to approve the rest of the vouchers?
Yes, let's make a motion to approve the rest of the vouchers.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So we have the minutes for the council meeting of July 20th. Do we have any discussion? Councilmember Pepper?
I just need a minute to look over and make sure that those items that we were looking at are corrected. Are they? I mean, did somebody else get a chance to look at it?
They figured out which Judy they were talking about. We have three different Judys.
No, this still says
that
Judy
speak.
I'm sorry, this still says Judy Baxley, who was not present at the meeting. But it's Judy Watson. Do I have the wrong one?
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong one,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so there's...
So it's the one that...
The one that...
It's the one that Brenda just passed
Brenda
out.
Brenda just passed that out. Okay.
No, it is still wrong.
It says Judy Baxter.
It's still wrong.
Yeah.
Well, you can make an amendment and say it was Judy.
Yep. Judy
Watson.
It was Judy Watson. And then... Erica, Councilmember Morgan, was there another item that you were looking at here?
No, you were looking at that other item.
Okay, I was looking at this
on
other
page
item.
3, and I'm not positive what it, but this looks like this isn't corrected.
That is corrected.
No, you know
but
what? not
right. No. This part, that's all new.
Yeah. It looks just the same from my old one from the other day that I first read it off of.
Yeah.
She didn't have anything in here about...
So there was no vote calling the question? There was no vote on calling the question. I thought we had a vote on calling the question. It was a little confusing.
Well, if you read it, it says there was council discussion. Councilmember Weber called point of order for control of me, and Councilmember called the question. The mayor stated the question as we called. All those in favor. Councilmember Edelman responded aye. The only person you can hear. Mayor Benson stated those opposed. Councilmember Pepper asked for clarification of what was being voted on. Councilmember Edelman stated calling of the question. Councilmember Dee seconded this. There was continued discussion around calling the question and voting, and the nay votes were never taken. Councilmember Weber called the court of order for courtesy. There continued to be discussion, and Mayor Benson stated there is a motion and a second on the floor to amend the minutes. So, I mean, that's, she listened to the audio and went verbatim what was done. So that was what was on the audio. And that is changed from what was in your packets at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at that meeting.
I know. I know that.
So are you satisfied, Pat, with just the Judy Watson, not Judy Baxley?
She changed it in the wrong place.
I think we need, what I would like to do is to make a motion to... amend these meeting minutes, because in the first public comment, I do believe it was Judy Goodwin who got up and spoke.
Mm. Yep. She changed in the first one.
That needs to be changed to Judy Goodwin. And then in the last public comments, it says Judy Baxley. That needs to be changed to Judy Watson.
No wonder we're having this trouble.
My motion is to accept the meeting minutes with those two changes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So the next item, we have a couple of department reports. Mr. Williamson.
What you have in front of you, council members, is coming for action to you in 2 weeks at your next council meeting. But with the time frame with Tough Mudders and them being based on the East Coast, as you can see at the date of this, we just finalized all this information. So I wasn't able to get it in time to get it before you for tonight's. So I wanted to present it through my department report, so you have this information, so it'll be coming to you, so you'll have the time to look at it and read it. Nothing substantial has changed since the last five times I think they've come to town and done this project. So hopefully by getting to it to you tonight and being proactive ahead of it, that maybe we could get a first an action next week to get the process approved. They are a little bit behind the gun to get it to us. It's mid-September this year. It's not towards the end of September, so we are in a little bit of a crunch for time frame for your approval. So hopefully you'll take that into consideration, and hopefully we can move that forward. If you have any questions, give me a holler, and then we could move forward.
Councilmember Edelman?
I just have a real quick one. Are there any substantive changes to this over the last few years that it went through with no problems?
No, I mean they.
And it's a fun event to just even go watch.
It's a fun event. It's got supports you could see on the front there from all the different departments, and mm-hmm. their restrictions, which are the same things that they've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And it's on private property. They use the course for the King County. The Black Diamond Lakeshore Regional Park. To run through that, which they've done for years. But the majority of this is on Palmer. We've gotten the traffic well coordinated by now, and Jamie has passed off on the plan like they do. They've done the funding, and they've agreed to do that in the fire department, so it's nothing different than we've done substantially in the past.
Thank you.
So,
Councilmember Morgan?
I do have another. It seems to me that the last time that we did we have more local business participation last time?
You know, we've tried that in the past. We've tried different things, but
it doesn't work.
What's become real apparent on this is the contestants come in. They might buy gas or maybe they'll buy some energy bars or some drinks before they go there. But once they do this, our thought always had been through the years to try to get them into other business. But they are wiped out. They are beat. They get in their car covered in mud or whatever else they're covered in, freezing cold, and they get in the car and they head home. What we do, what does benefit is they have a beer vendor there, and so each one of the contestants, they get a wristband for participation. And when they're done, they take that off and they exchange that for a beer. The local Kiwanis Club, which is, you know, basis the Black Diamond by Kiwanis Club, what they do is they are the providers of serving the beer. They went and got all their certifications to do all that. And then Tough Mudder pays them for every one of those bracelets, right?
That gets turned in.
That gets turned in. Or some people just now, they just take them off and give them to them, you know, so they don't. Okay. So then there's like, you have this many bracelets, but, and you only use this much beer. It just means more profit for the Kiwanis, right? So they're getting $3 for each one of those or whatever the figure
or whatever
is.
Whatever it is.
And then that money in turn gets turned into scholarships. So they do scholarships in the area. They provide the backpack program for the local elementary school here, which now they're hauling them up to JJ. So they're up to 45 backpacks that they produce every week for the kids to take home on the weekend. So this does kind of come back to us, but the tying in of local businesses besides, you know, Palmer Coke and Coal, which rents them, it's really difficult to do that. When we had the bike shop here, he was there and doing some, Chris Chiropractor comes out and does some chiropractic adjustments and those kind of things, but it's hard to draw that in to it, so.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, and I think as these things evolve, so it sounds like it's actually in a way turning into like a fundraiser for charity as well as being just this event happening in town, bringing people into Black Diamond. And I don't find any fault in that. I think things have to evolve the way they evolve, and I think that's just how it has to be. So. I'm ready to move that we call this the first reading of this.
May I say something before you move on to that?
Okay.
Because there's another revenue component here that hasn't been spoken of. This is revenue for the city of Black Diamond. So there are taxes that are paid, and you don't see the check right away. It takes a while to process. But over the last, 5 years?
Yep.
There's a nice, healthy chunk of change that comes in on our revenue side of the ledger, and I think we need to recognize that also.
And they buy a lot of water, too.
And they buy a lot of city water.
To go into those things that those people decide to jump into.
The hard freeze, Councilmember Pepper.
I was asking, thinking something along those lines. I know, is it the chamber that has the map of Black Diamond now?
They do.
And
yes,
do they get like a, do we have a brochure that has businesses listed?
On that map, there is. On the back side of that, there is of the business.
I don't know what you would call it, a welcome packet or something. I mean, I've seen them in the supermarket, and I'm not sure they're interested in a welcome packet, but they would like, maybe they like to know where to get a pizza. I mean, this town has some really good places to eat. So
they do. I mean, that's one of the components that these, the underlying that we don't always, it's hard to make the nexus what this event did to help those things.
Right.
But it introduces people to our community. It introduces people to the biking trails. It introduces people so they start talking about Black Diamond. They went to this event in Black Diamond. Oh, there's those bike trails. They come down. Maybe then they go to the bakery or they go to Michael's or they go to one of the other things. It's just one of those, it's like a soft sell. You know, they come for one event. But, oh, that was a cool town. Let's go back. Or you try to get them to venture around, you know, a little bit. But and we've done that in the past. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've sat next to people in the bakery who were doing exactly that.
Yeah, just venturing around. So,
Councilmember Morgan.
So, and I also just wanted to add, because that occurs to me now, when I last year when we had this event, I was I can't remember why, but I went into the Lake Sawyer Park from our regular trail off of Lake Sawyer Road, and I ran into some of these event people who were doing their runs, and they were just like the really friendly, nice people. They wanted to hear about the town. It wasn't like they were that busy doing a super fast race and having that kind of a mentality. And then it was nice because we also had some other casual visitors who didn't really realize what was going on.
Right.
So we could just sort of tell them, you know, what
the, was the goal is to finish, not necessarily your time.
Right.
And the muddy ones like to hug you.
For some reason, they do.
Muddy mutter hugs.
Or we could pass it tonight.
Great. Yeah, you could suspend the rules and pass it tonight. We'd be done.
I'd like to look at it.
Okay.
Just for the fun of it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Williams. So are we going to count this as the first reading?
Yeah, let's count this as the first reading.
So when it
are, or shall, or do we need to vote? We should vote on that, huh?
I'll move we don't need to vote on that.
We don't need to vote on that. Just so, and then it's going to go to GovOps?
Yeah, and 8:17 is the next meeting, our meeting. Okay.
That's our next. So it has to be sometime between then and now? Okay.
Thank you. That's really nice of you to put that forward. Just wanted to get you the information. We are done from the MDRT team on Roberts Drive. It has been a long summer, and we are there, and we gladly hand the project off now to Seth and Scott, and they will now start on the stormwater, sidewalks, streetlights, and J.R. Hayes has mobilized. So from the bridge to City Hall, roughly, that will be the J.R. Hayes working area, and then after they do that, they'll go on the other side of the bridge, and we'll do that work that you guys additionally added on to the paving. We have one more road closure that we will need to do as we finish the roundabout. We want to make sure the paving comes in, and we'll have to shut that intersection down for one night closure as we tie everything into the concrete, into the roundabouts. So that will be happening over one night, and then the next day when you all come out, you'll have the great adventure of driving around the city's first roundabout. So there's been a lot of discussion about the roundabout and a lot of people talk about it. So what I did is I have a oversized map of what the whole roundabout looks like, and I'll just leave it here on the table so anybody in here can come and just take a look at it, and you'll see the bypass road, and you'll see how we're coordinating that. But our goal is to have this open for Labor Day, so we are fast tracking moving. Well, that's our goal. What I have found is we don't have the same goal as Puget Sound and CenturyLink. We have to get them off the pole. So as everyone sees in front of the project, you'll see all those power lines go underground. So we're undergrounding all that power and down the Lake Sawyer. But that means we've got to remove some poles to get them out of the roundabout. And I think a lot of you have driven by, you see those orange placards we have on them. Those lines are too low. So if we don't get those lines either removed or raised once power's off, we won't be able to open it. So then we'll be a few weeks later. But our goal, we're pushing very hard on CenturyLink, Comcast, and the power company to, they'll get the power goes off versus the other utilities. So we're in a big struggle with that too. But the water system is connected up into the plat. So for the first time in a long, long time, Morgansville has a very robust fire flow. Fire flow, which is flowing through those hydrants, is at the best level it's ever been. The one thing, you know, that we'll take as a community from whatever this development is that Morgansville now has a very robust water system. So there's all brand new hydrants through Morgansville. They're on the new 12-inch water mains, and our citizens are much safer now than that. So that's a good benefit out of what's coming out of this, and we're pretty proud of that. Fire flow has now been established at the project. It's been accepted. It's been purified. It's all been done. Now when fire flows is accepted, over the next few weeks, we will be issuing model home permits. Model home permits will be going up onto the project here shortly, and we're working with the developer and their people who are buying the lots to process through those. So a lot of things are excitingly happening, but I'll leave this here, and I'll stay around for a little bit. Everybody wants to look at the roundabout. I'm not a roundabout expert, so we can, but this is what we're going to get, and we'll kind of explain it. So any questions from the council on any of that stuff? Good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. Ms. Miller?
Tonight, I'd like to hand out the second quarter financial report and just briefly go over it. Tomorrow we'll be posting that on the internet on the city's website under finance, and I'll send out an email to all of you with a link to that site, but any citizen also will be able to find it on that site. So for the first quarter of, or first half of the year, 50% of the year, we always look at the operating funds, the general fund, where the primary expenditures of the city are for all of our police, our fire expenditures, community development, and all that. Right now, some of the revenue is coming in over budget and some coming in under. It's very difficult to predict when and how exactly all revenue lines are going to come in. So the good news is sales tax is coming in quite over budget, and I've shown the numbers on the page four there and also listed it on the summary. It's 24% over budget as of June. That, I believe, is a result of all the construction material that went into the school and all the equipment and everything as they're finishing that school up. So that's been a really – we get the sales tax as they deliver products or material for that. The law reads the sales tax has to come back to the site. That's also a result of all the work that Goodfellows and Andy just spoke about, that project, putting all those water lines in and all the other products out there, and also some construction of some buildings that we did, the Shake and Bake project that we had last year, some of those buildings. As all that lumber and equipment and appliances were delivered, we get sales tax on that. So that's been really good news. The utility tax is a little, it's 7.6 over budget in as of the 6 months. And that, I look back, and it's primarily the power and the cable. So evidently, the cable companies are still selling, or at least their prices are going up, and we're getting tax on that. So getting utility tax on those two. A business license, we receive all of that pretty much the first through April, I believe they're all due. So that's always over budget the first quarter. But those over budget amounts really are offsetting the amounts that are coming in a little under budget. And primarily that's the permitting and land use fees. We had anticipated we'd be doing more sale and building of lots, and that's come in slower than what we'd anticipated. We believe there are some small development out there that will come in through the end of the year, but we're not exactly sure how much. So that sales tax revenue and utility tax revenue helps offset that other revenue coming in under budget. The other area that's kind of been under budget is in the court and in the police traffic schools. The police, as you know, have had a turnover in officers, and that turnover is resulting in less traffic tickets, less court fines, and less revenue. So we're glad that the sales tax is offsetting that, and we're glad that they're up to speed in their hiring and training, and anticipate that they'll be pretty well trained as of November, and then we'll be able to start see that recovering. So there's some other minor amounts that I've listed in there you can go over, but primarily that's the amount of revenue that's over. On the expenditure side, I've listed all the departments on page four, and all the departments are under budget,
except for the recycling grant and those grants. Those are done the first part of the year, so they're always over budget at the first half of the year because we have to spend the money on those projects. The other area that's over is the lawsuits and mitigation and arbitration, the legal service for those. Last year, we'd only spent $4,500 in that area, so this year I'd budgeted $10,000. However, the bills to date is $78,162 as of June, so we're $68,182 over budget. So that will probably need a budget change before by year end, but we don't really know what that amount's going to be by year end, so there's no way really to go forward and put a good budget change in, but we need to be watching that. Other than that, all the other departments are under budget. In fact, the expenditures are at 42.8%. And so even though revenue is under, expenditures are under even more. So our cash flow has remained positive. It is down. I attached a page, the last page in there, that shows the cash position of all the departments. And our cash at the end of June 30th is $1,431,891 in the general fund. And that is $21,000 below what we were in December, which is a small amount. But I think that's really a reflection of the legal service fees that we're paying that we're not in the budget. And so the difference, the revenue being below budget at 46 and the expenditures at 42 is a positive variance. So our cash flow is really at a positive right now. And, you know, this positive variance demonstrates how the mayor and the departments and everyone is diligently managing the city's finances. I've also attached pages for the utility funds, and I need to say, not go over all those tonight, but say each one of the utility funds looks fine. All their revenues seem to be very close to budget, and all their expenditures under budget, with the exception of the sewer fund. The sewer fund had some unanticipated repairs in the sewer line that occurred the first half of the year. I'm hoping by the end of the year we'll be back in trend for that, but right now they're a little 2%, I believe, over budget in the expenditures. And then the last page that I've attached is a new page that we just started last year that shows kind of the assets and liabilities of the city and how those trends have changed since 2012. We've tracked it for 5 years now, and we have $4,236,99 as of June in all the city for our cash and investment position at the end of June. And that's it really, if you look back at 2012 and take the difference in how much it has increased, it's run about 5% increase overall each year. This indicates that we're really watching what we're doing and that we need to do that, because in a property tax city, we've got to have cash flow to be able to pay expenditures before we get that property tax. And then also the auditors use this measure to say, as your expenditures are increasing every year, are you also increasing your reserves and your fund balance each year? And I'm happy to say that we are. They consider this to be a fit city when you are. In the cash position for the capital funds, the governmental funds, like the street department and everything, it's down about $136,000 over 5 years, which is a pretty small amount to pull down your capital funds. Capital is there to be spent to do capital projects. The utility funds, if you look at that graph on the last page, you'll see they have decreased, and they have decreased by $380,000 over 5 years. The reason for that is we loaned $160,000 to the equipment replacement fund for police cars this year, and that will be repaid over the next 5 years. So that will come back to the fund, but that's part of the $380,000. The rest of it is every year the city portion of the sewer rate is not keeping pace with our operating expenditures, and we've expressed that in the budget, and every time I do a financial report, We've been busy this year and haven't been able to get to the rate and study, but I'm hoping in the spring of next year we'll be able to get to the utility rate study to look at all the rates. At that point, I believe we're going to need a city sewer rate increase so that we keep stop pulling down that cash reserve, because right now it's running between $100,000 and $80,000 a year that we've had to pull out of reserve just to pay the operating expenditures. Growth will help offset some of that, but we'll still need some kind of a rate increase. The other piece is the stormwater fund, which I've also mentioned during the budget. And with every financial report, they probably are going to need a rate increase to cover their future operating costs and capital needs. They have no capital reserve at all. We're just barely making it in that fund, but we are positive in our cash position. Overall, we have a very strong, positive financial picture right now, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you.
I don't have any.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
So now I'm going to give my mayor's report. So I attended the Washington State Transportation Commission meeting in Kent last Tuesday. It was an all-day event. I was invited to testify about skateboard, which I did, and then I was in, then we I traveled there with people from Maple Valley. The Covington people didn't show up. There was somebody there from Enumclaw, but we made it clear to them that even though Department of Transportation said that it's our fault that we're growing too much and they're not going to do anything about the roads, and they don't consider the Growth Management Act kind of told everybody they had to grow. So it was, their input was kind of like, oh, too bad, we're not going to do anything. So anyway, we made about, we had three stabs at talking about 169 and 516 and trying to get those on the bill, and we've kind of been working on that with the Tri-Cities, and we've got a couple of other transportation groups that were working on it. And then on 8-1, I attended the Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Coalition, which is sponsored by Chamber, and they're trying to get citizens together with electeds to say that citizens want economic development, and if you don't do anything with the highways, we won't have anybody, we won't have economic development. And then on Tuesday night, I hosted a national night out neighborhood party at my house I've been doing for 4 or 5 years, and was really well attended but very hot, so we ended up having to spray the gravel down to cool things off a little bit. But it was very fun, and the local police showed up, and we didn't get the fire engine, which the little kids were really disappointed in because they had a couple of other emergencies and weren't able to attend. So anyway, it was fun. Councilmember Morgan, do you have a report?
I think what I will report on is just that I'm going to have a really busy week next week. All my meetings are happening next week. Flood control, we're working on the budget for flood control. We're also working on the budget with Soraya 9 and KCD and KCD. It's not going to be the real KCD meeting. It's going to be shorelines, because I'm on the shoreline committee, so it'll be those shoreline committee. And there's an awful lot of miles of shorelines with the lakes and the rivers and the streams, and then Puget Sound as well. So, oh, and the other thing is on Tuesday, I'm also going to do Beaver School at Falls City.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay. First of all, just to let you know, there is no Public Issues Committee meeting this month from SCA. We decided to take a month off. On the 27th, I went on a tour of the SeaTac Airport. We loaded into buses, and they took us out on the tarmac and showed us some of the cargo that's going overseas, like all the cherries. There's lots of expansion going on. There's going to be a huge walkway from the South Satellite to the main airport that is going to be taller than the tail of a 747 that's on its front nose gears collapsed so that an airplane can go underneath it. There's huge, huge changes going on out there, and there's not going to be any more runway.
So they're having to adapt with tearing down old buildings, putting new buildings in. So it was a really interesting tour. Then yesterday met with the mayor, and May reviewed the vouchers and what was going on in the city. I did attend the Neighborhood National Night Out, and it was fun. It was hot, but we got great support. I think most of the police department were there because I made a comment about who was watching the city. But it was just great because they went to all the different neighborhoods that were having parties. And so I think that's just another great part of being in our small community. And I continue to serve lunch with the mayor and Councilmember Deedy at the community center, Feed the Seniors. I want to reiterate that on the 7th is the Black Diamond Elementary School open house, and please come. I think this is a huge deal for our community and for our kids. And then also another thing for some of us that aren't in the Enumclaw School District, Tahoma High School is having their dedication on Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the new high school. So I think we've got a lot of great opportunities here for our kids as they're coming through now to get some real high-tech buildings that they get to go to school in. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Councilmember Weber.
All right, I'm going to keep this brief. I contacted or sent an email to Chief Kiblinger asking her kind of a status on the police vehicles, and it sounds like they're hopefully about a month out. And there was an issue early on with some of that type vehicle with the carbon monoxide, but she was saying that they have a label or whatever. It's like $6 a year. It's a detector that you can stick inside, so that kind of mitigates that. But I would, you know, we're both kind of hoping that the vehicles are in town by Labor Day for the parade and stuff. And I don't know about anybody else in town, but I'm really big on doing fires, like recreational fires in my backyard and my pit about every weekend. There's a stage one ban, so even the recreational fires are a no-go. So pass that around to your neighbors. That's all I have.
Councilmember Pepper.
Yeah, for my council report, I'd like to revisit statements brought up at the last meeting. The city's legal services contracts were mischaracterized. Here's what happened. On May 4th, 2017, the council brought up for first reading a resolution on legal services. We did not vote on this resolution May 4th. We followed our process of having first reading, and the item was assigned to the Government Operations Committee. However, it was incorrectly recorded as Resolution 17-1167. May 18th, 2017. We passed the resolution on legal services and renewing the request for RFQs for legal services. Also clearly in Resolution 1171, it is noted that Resolution 16-1092 passed by Council clearly authorized the Council President and Council Mayor Pro Tem to propose for Council consideration interim legal services for the city. This is exactly what we did. This resolution, contracted by vote of the city for two experienced law firms to serve as our city's interim legal services. This resolution also set forth that the Council President and Mayor Pro Tem would finalize an RFQ document and requested that when ready, the Mayor advertise the RFQ. We also did this, sending the RFQ. In every city, the City Council makes decisions by votes. In every city, the City Council is a contracting authority. That is how we have hired our legal services. The resolutions passed have been clear. A person who says that only two council members contracted with a law firm or that we can't vote for an interim legal service provider while awaiting completion of an RFQ is not recounting the facts correctly. This week I also spent a great deal of time in something called R&D, which is research and development of my technological equipment with help. So I'm going from embryonic to emergent. And that's all I have.
Do we have an attorney report?
No, Mayor.
So now it's time for public comments, and I would remind you not to make any campaign or political statements during this time. It's inappropriate. So is there anybody wanting to make public comments? Mr. Glenn?
Two or three points. One.
You're going to have to move the microphone up, please.
I would like to recommend the council mayor consider adopting or providing to the citizens a formal written protocol in terms of public comment. There is a difference between what we can do out on the street, we will post signs, what else, and what happens when you're using public equipment such as these. So I'd ask you to consider that, most councils do. Secondly, I'm certain that the mayor is aware of the potential consequences that there is this debate about warrants and signing this, approving them, about approving warrants if the council has not authorized their signature. I would ask the council and mayor to take a look at the implication if checks or warrants are being signed that are specifically not authorized by the council. That is a concern. And lastly, from my personal standpoint, I guess I've always been taught that you want to be polite, not patrolling, not anything else. And unfortunately, that does not always happen here. Hopefully that would change. Thank you, and may the rest of the evening be quiet.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. First, I want to thank Mae Miller for the financial report. I think that was very eye-opening. I like the fact that we are considered a fit city, and I want to thank the mayor for your steady hand on our tax dollars, on my tax dollars. I appreciate that. The Linehan memo that was read out at the beginning of the meeting on OPMA violations, I found very interesting, and it harkened back to a lot of times that Councilmember Deedy talks about how can one council member bring an item they want on the agenda to two other council members and not have that be an OPMA violation, especially in light of the fact of what Mr. Linehan stated about you guys are a committee and you're making a decision, not in a public setting, not in a public meeting that is open. On July 20th, the CIP amendments were recommended to the Growth Committee. When was the committee meeting held that discussed these recommendations from Morgan that you guys passed tonight? When was that committee meeting held? The AWC training was sent to the GovOps Committee. When is or was that committee meeting? The Tough Mudder is for first reading going to committee, the GovOps Committee. When is that being held? It disturbs me that all these things are going to committee. We used to get notice. You guys wanted the public involved. I've attended those committee meetings religiously, and now I get no notice that there's any committees at all that are meeting. Committees, even prior to 2016, were considered open meetings, and they were on the city agenda or the city calendar prior to the 2016 rules. They were being emailed out to other council members, and that's how I was getting notification, but I don't even think that's happening now. So you guys are holding your committee meetings, if you're holding your committee meetings, you're holding them in secret. Public doesn't know about it. Public can't attend. To me, that kind of doesn't pass the smell test. Pepper read the history about the hiring of the attorneys here. And so you wanted an RFQ. So when was the RFQ published and for how long was it open? How many applicants? Because to my recollection, you put it in committee, you pulled it out of committee, you passed it, and you hired these guys. They were here ready to go to work. That's not the process, and any municipal attorney worth their salt should know that is not the process. I question his abilities. You guys refuse to pay legitimate contracts without explanation. Without explanation. Legitimate contracts that you even voted on, you've passed. Yet you want the city to pay your illegitimate contracts, not with my tax dollars.
Your time is up. Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Leslie?
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And I'm confused about the DKS contract that I think got passed tonight, or information about changes to a DKS contract. It sounds like the majority council is telling staff what to take to the consultant for terms of the contract. Shouldn't it be the staff negotiating terms with the consultant and bringing the contract back to the council for approval. It just seems that it's a little backwards, that the majority council feels that they have the ability to tell staff how to negotiate with consultants. And I, as a citizen, don't think that really the council has that same expertise as the staff who's working in the industry and in the field and in the business on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to the elected officials. The elected officials should be reviewing those terms that have been negotiated and asking for input at their committee meetings, which we've yet to hear about when those committee meetings might be for reviews, so we could give some input to them. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Kristen Bryant, again, of Bellevue, formerly of Black Diamond. I have a couple of comments tonight. One is that I also as I mentioned earlier, I commented about the attorney contracts. And there's a resolution by the council to conduct another RFP that was passed in May. Most of us were probably all here together at that meeting. And it's my understanding that the RFP would be conducted while the council has interim legal services from Mr. Glenn. And it's difficult for a council or a council member to put on the city website, if not impossible, advertising an RFP or pay the professional journals or publications or newspapers to advertise that. That would typically, in Black Diamond, be handed over to the administration. So I think that, you know, looking again at that, figuring out where it is in the process makes sense, but I think that Ms. Taylor mischaracterized what that resolution said and what was going on. The other comment I want to make is on the Roberts Drive water main project by developer Oak Point. Since Mr. Williamson commented that that project is complete, I have been under the impression that, and I'll go by and look again, but the shoulder parts of Roberts Drive hasn't been returned to its vegetation prior to the construction. Some of it's gravel where it was previously grass, but the permit documents and requirements on the developer were to revegetate that. Gravel is a poor stormwater treatment. Grass is, you know, at least a little better. I don't know if that's still, if there's still some planting that has to go on that maybe wasn't mentioned, because I guess I wouldn't be trying to plant grass this month. But I would hope that the city would look into that, because it seems that it's not following its permit requirement, especially with the stormwater fund we just heard running a little short. It certainly wouldn't make sense to let the developer do anything that would make the streams or the lakes or the wetlands dirtier, to falling to somebody someday to figure out how to have a better stormwater catchment.
Your time is up.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.